To Vegas we go. Brad Powers, bradpowerssports.com, the website that Bill King linked right the top right of the page. Of course, he's on with Bill every Friday morning during the 8 o'clock hour. Brad Powers 7 on Twitter. Brad, good morning to you.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Oh,
good
morning. We got a new coach in Tennessee.
Josh Heupel. Yeah, that moved that over under on the win total out there.
Well, it wasn't going to be that high to begin with. And obviously the SEC schedule coming out here in a couple hours. We'll see how it lines up. But, I had low expectations. I think Tennessee fans, the majority of them had unrealistic expectations.
Oh, you can say that again.
on who they were going to be able to get. But I'll say this. I am not a huge fan of Josh Heupel. I had high expectations for UCF football this year. Mm-hmm. And I know it was COVID and they had a lot of opt-outs and whatnot, but I couldn't have been more underwhelmed by just about any team than UCF this year. So I'm not a huge fan of the Josh Heupel hire. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and how much of it is what Scott Frost left him? And, of course, he did win a national championship, okay? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, Scotty Frost did. Yeah. Josh Heupel didn't. So the program's trending in the wrong direction. Left him a lot. And, it's gotten progressively worse over the course of the time. So, and look, it wasn't anything fluky. I mean, UCF, when you look at poorly coached football teams, what are you looking at? Penalties. UCF went bottom 10 in the country in penalties. Just not buttoned up. I mean, off the field issues for UCF, on the field issues. It was a program certainly trending in the right direction. And I'll tell you, all you need to do is look at UCF fans and what their thoughts are losing Josh Heupel. I think a lot of them are crying over spilled milk, let's just put it that way.
No, because it looks like, and Charlie was talking earlier, they'll end up with Tony Elliott. And, the UT has sent Central Florida, will send $6 million in buyout, $3.5 million for the AD and $2.5 million for the coach.
Hmm. Huh? That's a lot, especially when you weren't willing to pay, Jeremy Pruitt, and you came up, but you self-investigated yourself and put yourself kind of in this position that you're in right now.
But I look at established coaches, and I got to wonder, Billy Napier's down there at Louisiana and what he's done there, he's let a lot of opportunities pass him by. It seems like he's waiting, or maybe he's happy. I mean, that's, who knows? I mean, I don't know if I'd want to spend the rest of my life in Lafayette, Louisiana, but they do have great Cajun food. But Lance Leopold at Buffalo, Sonny Dykes' name, got thrown around. Certainly at SMU, he's been at Cal, been at Louisiana Tech, and been a winner just about everywhere. Jamie Chadwell, you wonder about that. So there were some existing coaches with head coaching experience looking like they were ready to take that next step as well.
Yeah, and those were the type of guys that I was thinking were attainable for Tennessee. Head coaches, in the Sun Belt that I think are certainly on the rise, but I'm just wondering, because of the ongoing investigations that are looming over Tennessee, if that played a part. We'll see if they were even reached out to. I think Napier wanted the South Carolina job, and I think Jamie Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina coach, was probably in a similar position. But I'm not sure. Either of those two guys will probably end up with better jobs than even Tennessee a year or so from now. So maybe it was more on their end than Tennessee really, pursuing these guys.
Talking with Brad Powers. All right. Obviously, Super Bowl 55 is now set. Incredible, guys. There will have been 55 Super Bowls by the end of this one, and Tom Brady will have played in 10 of them. Just an amazing, amazing stat to put out there. Seems like the early money's coming in on the Chiefs. I know they're not going to be, they're not going to have their stud left tackle, Eric Fisher. Does that factor at all, you think, into how the money's going?
Obviously, it doesn't. With a little bit of, it's on a key number. Three is the most key number in all of the NFL. So
sure.
It takes a hell of a lot of money to move off of that key number, even though it's moving towards that way with Kansas City. Where do I expect it to move from this point forward?
Yeah.
I mean, tough, because I'll say this. If you have looked at the last two games for both of these teams. As we got closer to game day, both games Kansas City's played in the playoffs, money has come against the Chiefs, both times against the Browns and the Bills. And you look at Tampa Bay the last couple of games that they have played, money has come on Tampa Bay late on that weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and that's when most of the joke public bettors are going to come to the market. And then not this weekend. They're more worried about today and college basketball or the NBA than what the Super Bowl is 10 days from now. So my expectation is we'll see some more Tampa Bay money come in. And keep in mind, the Super Bowl is a completely different animal on itself in the fact that a lot of people that only bet one time a year are going to bet the Super Bowl. And what a lot of people are going to do is just bet Tampa Bay on the money line, meaning if they don't understand point spreads to the +3, they're not going to grasp that. What they want is Tampa Bay to win because they're at home, because it's Tom Brady. I think if you're looking for some value, I'd hold off on betting Kansas City on the money line. I think you can get a cheap price on the Chiefs on the money line because of all that Tampa Bay money that's going to come in with Tampa Bay money line bets.
Well, where is it now? Where do you think it'll end up with Kansas City?
Right now, Kansas City, as far as the money line or the
point? Yeah, money line.
Yeah, on the money line, you're sitting with Kansas City right around -170. I could see that, coming down in 10, 15 cents, maybe, because you're going to see a lot of people wanting to bet. They like betting a little to win a lot. That's regular Joe, public bettor, and especially one that only bets once or twice a year. They bet the Kentucky Derby and maybe the Super Bowl type of thing. So, I 160, I could see it maybe closing in that direction. It's already come down 10 cents. It was -1. So even though this is a great example of this, because now I'm looking at it a little clearer, Kansas City, you've seen them go from like 3 to -120 on the point spread here in the last couple of days. On the money line, it opened -180, and now it's down to 170. So you're already starting to see what I've explained here in the last minute.
And one thing we know, right, Brad, if the Chiefs get down early, it's no big deal. It seems like that's what they always do in their playoff games. They get down by, double digits or close to, and then all of a sudden they wake up and start wrecking shop, right?
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, in-game, opportunities. So, if you don't feel like laying the 3 with Kansas City, you're always a risk playing that, but certainly, chances are, we've seen this time and time again, they could get down, you can get a nice number in Kansas City. Maybe instead of it laying 3, you can get a plus number behind them.
Brad Powers 7 on Twitter, BradPowersSports.com, the Bill King link at the top right of the page. Brad, I want to try to help you out with your life a little bit, okay?
Life advice from Greg Bogue, a new segment on our show.
When you moved to Vegas from Cleveland, and certainly the great work you did with Field Steel, and it hasn't been the same since, quite frankly, but can you do now, because of all of the access everywhere, can you do what you do from anywhere, or do you think you need to be right there? Because here's in a minute, and there's a reason for my point. Can you do what you do from anywhere? Because of all the computer accesses and everything.
It's getting to that point. Not quite now. Well, I hate to give away secrets, but there is one sports book that is available only in Nevada and Colorado that I am taking advantage of.
Okay,
and
well, that's...
If you were to tell me that they would stay in business the next 20 years, I'm not sure I would be doing this segment with you guys.
Well, thanks a lot.
There's just opportunities that I'm finding with them, and it's almost too good to be true. But it is certainly getting to the point where you can do what I do pretty much anywhere. Let's use the most recent state that just opened up this past week, Michigan. It wasn't just one book that opened. They were fully operational, 10 different sports books on day one you could bet at in the state of Michigan, 10 different ones. And to put that in perspective, Nevada, that's been doing it for almost 30 years and was the only state to be able to do it for 25-plus of those years, we only have like 15 different sports books. So a state that starts day one has 10 different ones. And a lot of them you can't even find here in the state of Nevada. And, yeah, it's getting to that point. I would say within 5 years. You don't have to be in Vegas.
Does Michigan have brick and mortar, or are they just all online?
Some are brick and mortar, but a majority. I mean,
all right. Well, here's my point. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're to ask me, the over-under on the percentage of bets made brick and mortar compared to online, I would put it probably within 90%+ are going to be online. Everything's going to be online.
All right, here's my point. Through the market's first 2 months, November and December, Tennessee generated $312 million in bets, by far the most of any legal sporting betting jurisdiction in U.S. history. Next closest was Indiana. Shattered the records for the best first month, best second month. Indiana held both of those, set a record for operator revenue and at $271 million. And it, you know, obviously the money that trickles down, $13 million in November and $13 million, those go in the operators. The state got their money and everything, and a lot of people were concerned that there would be the blowback against the hold of 20%, which has it. That just shivered your bones, didn't it? Being a player, it doesn't matter. Tennessee in the first 2 months has blown everybody away with zero brick and mortar, and as you mentioned, really don't need that anymore. But come on to Nat. There's my point. We need you here, man. We got a bunch of degenerates here wanting to throw money away.
I'm not anxious to bet into a 20% hold.
No, I know, but it's breaking those records even with a 20% hold.
Yeah. Yeah, but how sustainable is that? I mean, sooner or later, if you're losing money, and by 20% hold, for those listening, means the customers are losing. To put it in perspective, bettors in the state of Tennessee are losing four times as much money as bettors in the state of Nevada. So I'm not anxious to walk into that, and I'm just wondering, when does the money dry up? I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, people seem to have a lot of for a financial crisis that we're kind of in with COVID and whatnot, between the Robin Hood day trading and betting on sports for the first time. People seem to have a lot of discretionary income. I'm just wondering, sooner or later, if you're losing at that type of percentage. I know that the Treasury wants to print more money, but that doesn't mean Joe Public's printing more money.
Well, probably because they have more discretionary, because they're not going out and doing things. They're not traveling. They're not
eating.
That's
a good point.
You know, so they're spending it elsewhere. I don't know. I just thought those numbers were pretty staggering overall.
Absolutely, they are. Not surprised. I mean, obviously, especially in a lot of the southern states, that are sports crazed. None of that surprises me when it comes to that. I mean, the state of Nevada has already been passed. Football crazy states like Ohio and that. I mean, the numbers in a state like that will be astronomical. And I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop on when it really significantly hurts the state of Nevada.
Well, Tennessee is now the nation's seventh largest sporting betting market in the country.
That's pretty good for a couple months.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Well, all the people, of course, our relationship here with FanDuel, but tell all the people, if they want to spend their money wisely, how to do it through Brad Powers.
Yeah, BradPowersSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab. Football newsletter is $69. That's going to go up after the Super Bowl. So if you want early renewal for that, that'll cover you for the entire 2021 season, and also early season win total bets and what futures bets, you name it. That'll be there in the off season. You can check that out. And also college basketball daily updates. And if you're all interested in that, you just go to BradPowersSports.com, click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
One other thing, only four sports books, three national, one locally, are in operation. On the way, Twin Spires, of course, Churchill Downs, WynnBET, and William Hill, all to start operating here soon.
That's exciting because, I mean, I can't drive this point home enough. Shop around. The more books, the better for you, the consumer, the better, because the more opportunities you have to shop around. You shop around, you can get different, point spreads, your futures, whatever, at a discount, and therefore creates to you having a better chance of making some money.
This FCC-required public service announcement brought to you by Brad Powers. Brad, thank you, man. And courtesy of Tom Hodges, by the way, he yeah. sent me that link to that. And those numbers just blew me away when I read them. So, anyway, thank you, Brad. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Obviously, we'll get more into the Super Bowl next week. Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, Brad.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, guys. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.